Thanks for listening to Schlereth than Evans On Demand, brought to you by Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. If you're in the market for replacement windows, there's only one place to turn. That's Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. Visit them online at windowsforyourhome.com.
Boy, Mark, I hope they save some of those runs for today. Aren't you supposed to say that after every huge monster offensive game? You're like, hey, save some of those for tomorrow.
Well, yeah, you're supposed to. I mean, you do think about this team, though. You're like, oh, Lord, we probably won't score for 6 weeks now. You know? We are spent, exhausted from all those runs we produced. I don't know. It's fun to see. Although, I will tell you this. Part of me was sitting there going, is that one easier just to stomach if you're the Arizona Diamondbacks? Like, hey, listen, Shelby Miller came in. He's a year off of, Tommy John surgery. He couldn't get it out. You know, everybody was squaring him up. Obviously, they were seeing the baseball really well. He pitched. He threw 30-some-odd pitches, and he leaves with elbow tightness. You know, he walks through the dugout and just goes straight to the clubhouse. And, you know, and so then you sit there and think, well, maybe, you know, maybe – that's one you just kind of chalk up to, hey, guys, listen, we pitched a bunch of positional players and all right, you can have that one. Here you go. Score as many runs as you can. Get them all out. Like, it's easier to stomach.
Oh, yeah. By the fifth inning, they're like, all right, you know, we've beaten this team 9 straight times on their field. You know, you knew it was going to turn at some point. And sometimes with baseball, it turns that way. It just out of nowhere. Wham. You know, there it is. And I'm sure by the sixth inning, they're having fun and they're watching Avila and Descalso position players come in to pitch and actually pitch pretty well. Especially Avila. Went 2 innings. Yes. Only gave up 1 hit, 7 batters faced. So anyway, it was a fun night for the Rockies. They needed it. They needed it badly. And it's always fun when you have a game like that. Just look at the box score and look at how guys padded their numbers. DJ LeMahieu, 3 for 5, scored 4 runs. Charlie Blackmon, 3 for 5, scored 4 runs, drove in 3. Cargo, 2 for 5, 4 runs scored, 2 home runs, 6 runs batted in. Let's start there. Talked about this a couple minutes ago, previewing the headlines of the day. Cargo was somebody, huge fan favorite, making a ton of money, about $20 million per, and it was just assume that the Rockies were going to have to move on from Cargo, that he wasn't going to fit in their plans. But combination of, you know, his value decreasing plus a slow free agent market during the offseason, all of a sudden we get late into the offseason, Cargo's still there, and the Rockies, all right, let's do a 1-year deal for relatively cheap money. And Cargo's hitting .275. He's got 10 home runs. He's driven in 38. He's played his exceptional right field, as he always has. So let me ask you, should the Rockies think about redoing and planning on Cargo being part of their team next year? Do you go year to year? Do you give them a long-term deal? Not long-term, you know, maybe a 2-year deal.
Right. If you can get him at the right money, I don't think there's any issue with that. I mean, he's always been a really good defensive player. You know, he's got a big arm. People don't run on him. He covers a lot of ground. Keeps hitting like this. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't have a problem. They love him in the clubhouse. He's a great leader. Guys, you know, he always comes with a smile on his face. He's fun to be around. He's an energy enhancer. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, it was crazy with baseball. I mean, here's Mark Reynolds. He drives in for the Nationals. He had a start again this year in AAA, and he drives in 10 for the Nationals, I don't know, a week ago or so. But you know, that was just the free agent market. They were just trying to squeeze out veteran players. Didn't want to pay guys. And you know what? Congratulations. You succeeded, but you still got to have good baseball players. Like Mark Reynolds would look really good in a Rockies uniform. I'm just saying. You know, he'd cure some of the issues that we've had from a first base standpoint. But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have any issue. I think Cargo is great for the team. People love Cargo.
Plus, you know, we keep waiting for David Dahl to establish himself, but you're starting to wonder if this guy's just going to have the injury bug following him around. And, you know, Gerardo Parra, nice guy, great in the clubhouse, you know, good player, but he hasn't lived up to the contract he signed.
No, he's played well the last 2 years.
Why do you not like Gerard Parra?
Because if you're going to play outfield at Coors Field, I need a little bit more pop.
Was it? He's hitting like 356 in the last month.
Yeah.
He's hitting well.
Yeah, but he's not really a big power guy.
All right.
All right, here's what Parra is doing to this point.
Okay.
All right, he's hitting 291.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, solid. 5 home runs and 39 runs batted in. You know.
Can he pitch?
Can he pitch? My point being that Cargo, I think, is making a very good case to be part of this team again next year.
Ever tell you my Gerardo Parra story?
I love your stories. Go ahead.
So, you know, Gerardo and my son were drafted together, both playing in Arizona and the Diamondbacks organization. They actually came up to the big leagues together, and they were in Mobile, Alabama. And I can't remember what the word that my son had said to Gerardo, but
now he's from Venezuela.
Yeah, Venezuela.
And now he's in Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah, he's in Mobile, Alabama. And whatever the word was, he couldn't say it, and he said Feech. It was just Feech is what came out. So it became this word, like Daniel has shoes on the back that just say Feech. Feech. And I'm not even sure what Feech means.
You still don't know to this day what Feech means?
No, I can't.
Was it like Fetch? Was it?
No, it just came out. The word just came out as Feech. And so that there was like, they had t-shirts, Feech t-shirts, like whatever that was, right? And they called each other, hey, Feech, what's up, Feech? So he's playing for the Milwaukee Brewers, and I'm in the front row of a Rockies game. You know, I'm right down in the front. So he walks up to the batting.
Because that's where Marsh Lara sits, people, in the front row.
Right behind home plate, my friends, right behind home plate. So I'm sitting there, and he comes out to take his warm-up hacks, and he turns and looks and sees me and goes, hey, Feech. And I was like, hey, Feech. And again, I still don't.
Know what it means?
Could be filthy.
It probably is.
Right.
You know what? It probably is. So the Rockies get themselves a big win. They'll try to take 2 out of 3 from the Diamondbacks. And, you know, hey, I mean, that's the way baseball works. You know, maybe after losing 9 straight to the Diamondbacks, maybe they turn around and start putting a streak together the other way, and that would be nice as they try to get inch a little bit closer. Hey, win the series. You gain a game on Arizona. So this is a big one coming up today, and they got Kyle Freeland on the mound, which is great because tonight at 6 p.m., our Rockies' 25th anniversary special is going on at Jackson's Lodo. Kyle Freeland will be there after his start, along with Zach Bye and Sandy Clough, for a special live broadcast, Rockies 25th anniversary trivia contest after the broadcast with a chance to win great prizes. Our thanks to Coors Light and the Play Ball exhibit at the Colorado History Center. So it's something we talked about yesterday, and more are Bronco fans willing and happy to lower expectations. That's next. So, Mark, I was out and about yesterday doing stuff. Running errands, even played a little softball last night.
Did you really?
That's right. You know,
are you any good at that?
I think I had a pretty good. Hey! No! I think I had a pretty good game, pretty good day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Our team had a rough one. Play for the Inglorious Batters.
Nice.
Get it? Right. Little play there. Yeah. So, I
like how you said our team had a tough one, but I played good.
Well, at the end of the day, it's baseball, it's softball. All that really matters are your own stats.
Yeah.
How'd you do? Well, we lost, but it wasn't my fault.
Yeah, team.
I showed up to play.
Team really struggled, but I was tremendous. I don't like to pat myself on the back, but my stats, go ahead. Look at my line.
Flashing the leather over there at third base.
Did you flash the leather?
Yeah,
are you the regular Nolan Arenado?
I'm the regular third baseman on that
team. Maybe when Nolan Arenado leaves the Rockies, you could slide right in.
Hey.
Just put your head in front of it.
Here's the only thing, though. You know, it's like...
Hard grinder. Oh, he used his head.
I got a giant head.
Here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
Like, because the first game I played, I came out thinking I was like 20 again. You know, so I'm like...
Well, the last time you played, you pulled a hammy.
I pulled a hamstring and a groin. Never done that before in my life.
Right.
Didn't even know I had those muscles.
Okay.
Until I pulled him. So now you should see me. Every step I take.
Ginger.
It is calculated.
Really?
It is. There is no letting it loose. It is. How's that feel?
What would you be like?
But when I'm out there playing third, no, I move around. In fact, you know, so, I made a couple of like charging fly throws, right. Twisting,
yeah.
To the point where actually the sorest part of me today is actually like my
obliques.
My obliques
you
are
got a little
sore.
Bit of an oblique strain.
I think I got a bit of an oblique.
Every step you said is calculated. Yeah. Like, what would you saunter up to the plate? What would be your like walk up? Your saunter up music.
What would be my? Oh, well, why not our Friday song? Why not a little Culture Club? You think I need something a little bit more sauntering like?
See, that would be like you dance up,
saunter or something.
Yeah, saunter.
I need a swagger song.
Yeah.
All right, I'll throw that out on the RamosLaw.com text line. What would be my swagger saunter up to the dish?
Oh, there you go. Right.
Not the plate. I'm sauntering up to the dish.
Sauntering up to the dish. Gonna go yard.
That's right. Hoping to just poke one into left center. That's all I'm looking to do is just drop one into left center. Anyway, talking to some of the guys on the team. They heard us talking about the Broncos. They loved us trashing the Chiefs, by the way. Loved us trashing the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
Kansas City!
It is kind of low-hanging fruit.
Couldn't get enough of that. Yeah. Anyway, so they said, hey, I'm with you guys. I would gladly sign up for a 38-7 loss in the AFC Championship game, like what happened to Case Keenum with Minnesota in the NFC Championship game. And Mark, the more I talk to people as people are starting to get geared up for football, the more I sense, what about you, that fans have lowered their expectations and that this idea that it's Super Bowl or bust, it's no longer the thought process right now. Right now it's like, hey, just get to the playoffs and I'll be happy.
I definitely agree with you. I think there's that. I also get this great sense that there is renewed, and I know this is every year, there's renewed optimism, but I think last year was fake renewed optimism. Like, you got optimism, but deep down inside, you didn't have a lot of faith because of the quarterback battle going on. There seems to be, like, real optimism. And I think, obviously, a lot of that stems from the fact that you have a quarterback. But I think there's a lot of optimism based on the way the rest of the division is playing out. Like, the question marks across the board with every team. And so, you walk around, and people always ask me, well, what do you think? And I'm like, you know, hell, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, until they go out and execute, you just don't know. You know, you'd like to think you know. You'd like to think that, you know, Jake Budd is going to be a player and Royce Freeman is going to be great. And you'd like to think that they fixed the offensive line. And you'd like to think that Case Keenum, with the weapons that they have, is going to be exactly what he was last year. And you love all that, but you have no idea. In reality, you just don't know, but there is this renewed sense of optimism based on the draft picks, based on the way they approach free agency, based on, you know, the quarterback they got. I mean, I sense that the optimism is real. And I sense that part of it also is the Bronco country is educated enough to understand that the rest of the teams in the AFC West, they've got a few flaws that they're looking at as well.
Sure. Now, I still hear from some of the holdouts who say, never, you know, never surrender.
Right.
Never will John Elway ever accept the idea that simply making the playoffs is good enough. I'm not so sure about that. After these last couple of seasons, after a year in which he had to come out and call his team soft, after having to sleep on whether or not he wanted to bring back Vance Joseph, you have told some great stories about just how competitive John is. But don't you get the sense right now that if you told John, hey, John, 9-7, 10-6, and you make the playoffs, you don't do a whole lot of damage in the playoffs, but you make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
He happy with that?
Is he happy? Yeah. Yeah. Based upon where they were last year, 5-11 with a bunch of blowout losses. Because think about it. If you're John and you've taken some criticism, and let's face it, like, how good is John at accepting criticism? Like, over the course of his career, not good, right? I mean, over the course of his career, he was praised for carrying teams to Super Bowls, right? It wasn't a lot of criticism. Then he rolls in as the GM, and 2 years later, he revamps the, you know, he revamps the roster. He gets Peyton Manning, and 2 years later, they're in the Super Bowl. And they get trounced in the Super Bowl, and he, like, completely revamps. He goes, you know, he gets other guys and revamps the defense, and they get more speed and blah, blah, blah. I just don't think that John has ever really, like, this is probably, this last 2 years, he's probably received more criticism. Think about this. More criticism in the last 2 years here from a public standpoint than he has in all his years of playing and his first however many years as the general manager combined. Now, you could say early in his career when he first got in, but understand there wasn't social media, and understand that back then when you rolled in, they expected a 2 year kind of process. Like, that was the standard. That was the norm. We draft you. We let you sit for a year or two. You know, he comes in and plays, but you were given, there wasn't this microwave society that we live in now where once you get drafted, you're expected to change the fortunes of the franchise right away. So he's probably received more criticism these last 2 years than he has in the entirety of his career, both as a player and a general manager.
Here comes the morning brew. LeBron James finding out that entry into Lakerland isn't going to be as seamless as he may have thought. Details next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning and you're going to crap thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
This ball crashed high and deep left field. Take a good look. You won't see it for long. Three-run jack. Ian Desmond, that a baby.
AT&T Sports out there with the call, Drew Goodman. Fun day for the Rockies at the ballpark as they jump out early and never look back as they cruise to a 19-2 win over the Arizona Diamondbacks. So, Mark, mission one was to end this home futility against the Diamondbacks. They had lost 9 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Check. They get that taken care of. Now you've got the rubber game of the series coming up today with probably undisputedly your staff ace going in Kyle Freeland. Level of importance, crucialness to this game. You got a chance now to take 2 out of 3 and climb to within 2.5 or 3 games of first place, because the Dodgers are only a half game back. But a chance to win the series and shave a game off the difference between you and Arizona. Do you put this down as a must win? If there's this idea that during the course of a season, everybody wins 60, everybody loses 60. Okay? It's what you do in those other, 42 games or so. Does this game today fall into that category of the other 42?
Yeah, this is as close to a must win situation in my mind as you have. You're coming off a 19-2 shelling, a blowout. And one of those is one of those, hey, man, chalk it up to, we came out, our guy didn't pitch well. You know, he's coming off Tommy John surgery. He's got great stuff. But obviously, the Rockies squared up every single pitch. Even the outs were loud outs. So we chalk that one up to, hey, man, it happens sometimes, and it's not reflective of our baseball team. Now you've got your ace, your staff ace, the guy who probably should be in the All-Star game in Freeland pitching. This is a big game, Mike. It's a huge game. And to take 2 of 3 from the number one team in your division, this is one of those this is one of those huge games you'll look at and say, you know, turning point type of game. So yeah, I think it's a, I think it's as close to a must win as you can be at this point in the season.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Take a good look. You won't see it for long.
Chuck Nasty, flat nasty tonight. He drives way back. Home run number 18. It's warming up for the Home Run Derby.
Again, more from AT&T Sportsnet. As the Home Run Derby field is set for next week's All-Star festivities. All right, pick your guy. Is it going to be Jesus Aguilar from the Milwaukee Brewers, Bryce Harper, Max Muncy from the Dodgers, Alex Bregman from the Houston Astros, Kyle Schwarber from the Cubbies, Javier Baez from the Cubbies, Freddie Freeman from the Atlanta Braves, or is it... Is it Rice Hoskins from the Philadelphia Phillies?
That's
not exactly a star. It's kind of like what the dunk contest has become like in the NBA.
That's where are the home big run. Names? Where's Giancarlo Stanton?
No
Where's
Judge.
Aaron Judge?
No J.D. Martinez.
Alex Bregman is the third baseman from the Houston Astros is on our. Who else do we get? I'll go Freeman, I guess.
Freddie Freeman, yeah.
Freddie Freeman. Did you see that picture of him listed at 6'5", and he's standing next to Aaron Judge, and Aaron Judge could eat eggs off the top of his head? Did you see that picture the other day? I'm like, either Aaron Judge is 7'2", or Freeman is not really 6'5".
7'2" baseball player. That would be scary. So the Home Run Derby field, there you go. Home Run Derby coming up next week. Next on The Morning Brew.
Kicks to LeBron James, who pulls up long three. Hey! Knocks it down. LeBron James from 5 feet behind the line.
Cavaliers radio right there. So LeBron is finding out that his arrival in L.A. isn't going to perhaps be as seamless as you may think. So a man who has painted a mural of LeBron in a Laker uniform has been vandalized twice. So the author just decided to just go ahead and cover it all over in white paint. He said there's a couple things I have figured out, you know, over the years. Don't get involved in politics and don't tick off Kobe fans. Do you get a sense that as much as some Laker fans are excited about the arrival of LeBron, that whether it's Kobe, whether it's Magic, but especially the Kobe fans, because they're the most recent, maybe the biggest group right now, do you think that they're going to have a hard time accepting LeBron?
Really?
And that LeBron will have a hard time winning over... How about, I'll put it this way. Do you think LeBron's going to have a hard time winning over Kobe fans?
I didn't realize Kobe fans were such a bunch of babies.
Oh, Kobe fan, come on. Kobe fans are the most.
Because you root for a guy
that's my
that
God. Nicknamed, you That's root, Kobe, that's my guy.
You root for a guy that nicknamed himself the Black Mamba.
Well, LeBron also nicknamed himself King James.
That's a good point. Shaq used to nickname himself all the time. Shaq, you get away with it, though.
Yeah.
He's the big Aristotle.
All right, well, if you're going to nickname yourself, what's better? What's a better nickname, King James or the Black Mamba?
The King is here.
Wow.
I think I'd have to go with King James.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a, you know, at least it makes sense, you know, LeBron James, King right. James. It was an actual King James once. He's the king. You know what I mean? Black Mamba. How'd he come up with Black Mamba?
It's a good call. You should go Kobe Ribs.
Who decides
Those are
one?
Good.
I guess someday I'd love to. How do you wake up one morning and decide, you know what? I need a nickname. Let's think about nicknames. And let's settle on, I know, Black Mamba.
Because the black venomous snake or whatever it is, right? An asp. Out there.
A what?
Asp. Out there, constricting. Why don't I go the constrictor? Do they have snake gerbils?
The boa.
If you're going to nickname yourself, what would your what nickname would you give yourself? Seriously. If you had a nickname yourself. Do you got one that you would give yourself?
What about you?
Only a toolbox nicknames himself.
Well, that's why I'm reluctant to do so.
But, I mean, my nickname, you know, is Stink.
Yeah, but you didn't give that to yourself.
Right, so if I had a nickname
this
myself.
This is one you had to give to yourself.
Yeah, see, now.
Killer.
That's right.
Justice Dispenser. Hey, I'm Mark Schlereth. How you doing?
You call me Justice Dispenser.
Call me Justice Dispenser.
They ever tell you that?
It's time to dispense some justice.
How you doing? I'm Mark Schlereth. I dispense justice.
You remember that Jersey Shore? You remember that show, the Jersey mm-hmm. Shore? Okay, you know, I just kill the music for a second because we've gone off the rails. Yeah. So the Jersey Shore. So I'm working at ESPN. The guy who's the famous guy on that guy is Mike the Situation, whatever, right?
Yes.
And so I'm walking through the halls of ESPN, and it was back when they first started doing with Michelle Beadle and Colin Cowherd, they first started having whatever that show was. What the hell was that show called?
Don't worry, not that big of a deal.
Yeah, but it was a fun show. So I'm walking down the hallway, and here's this little tiny guy, you know, that's 5'3" or whatever he is, you know. And I'm walking through the halls, and he goes, "Hey, Mark, big fan." I was like, "Oh, hey, thanks, man." He goes, "Hi, I'm the Situation." And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "I'm the Situation." I'm like, I didn't understand. I'm like, "Excuse me?" He goes, "I'm the Situation." And I was like, "Dude, I don't get. I thought he was just lost from a tour. Like they always have these tours, right? Because my name is Mike. They call me the Situation.
Well, if he had done that at first, that would have been fine. Right. But he kept calling himself the Situation when it was painfully obvious that you had no idea who the heck he was.
Right. And I'm like, "Hey, all right, guy. See you later." You know, what I'm saying? I have no clue who Mike the Situation is. So that was my experience with Mike the Situation.
Have some fun with this on our RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. If we were going to give ourselves our own nicknames, what would they be? Have some fun. Be creative. In the meantime, anxiously await for this. Tony Romo has made his Super Bowl prediction.
Oh, my goodness.
Who's it going to be? Find out next. So we started talking about LeBron James and Kobe Bryant and how they both gave themselves nicknames.
Yeah.
So if we're going to give ourselves nicknames, what would it be? You know, some of them were funny, you know, for me, Sweaty Bear.
Sweaty Bear.
Mom Jeans. The Squash. I like that one. I kind of like that. Just the Squash. How you doing? Mike Evans. I'm the Squash.
Hey, how's it going? The Squash. Name's Mike. They call me the Squash.
Now, for you, somebody really put a lot of thought, but I think too much. You know, they're really trying to go deep with this. So,
right.
This is from Nick in Castle Rock. He says, "You can't have Stink without a Toot. Toot's the reason for the Stink, but the Stink claims all the fame and has all the presence." So apparently, he says you should be Toot.
Toot.
Toot. Yeah.
Toot Sweet.
Okay. another guy.
The Squash.
From our Army Ranger Ed from the 10th Special Forces in Fort Carson. Thank you very much for your service, sir.
Thank you, sir.
So you're saying like Shaq is the big Aristotle, right? So sometimes it's fun to be, if your nickname is the something.
Yeah.
You know? So he says I should be the Big Noggin.
The Big Noggin.
The Big Noggin. You know, the Big Fundamental.
Right.
The Big Aristotle.
Then always
the big noggin.
Right. This is short to noggin.
Right.
So noggin? That's actually not bad. Noggin is good.
That's not bad.
So word that you don't
that
use
might be
very
my
often.
Leader. Noggin?
Noggin.
Tony Romo, who made such a splash last year in his first year as a analyst for CBS. I wish he had been playing quarterback for the Broncos instead. But anyway, he has come out and he's made his pick for the Super Bowl. Oh, you have the audio? All right, Ben, play it.
If I was picking right now, I'd probably go with Green Bay versus Jacksonville. I think that would be just a tentative rough guess here in the summer months.
Okay.
leaving open the possibility of changing, but what do you think initially of a Super Bowl Jacksonville Green Bay?
No! God, please, no!
See, Ben's from Jacksonville. Millennial Ben's from Jacksonville, and...
Boy, Jacksonville would be hard to sell.
He hates the Jags.
They'd be hard to sell.
What do you mean hard to sell? It's a Super Bowl. You could put any two teams in the Super Bowl and 110 million people are going to watch.
I mean, there's not a lot of real sexy storyline. It's not, of course people are going to watch. It's the Super Bowl, but I'm just saying it's like, what are your big headlines? Like, what's your big storylines for Jacksonville?
Hey, we were this close.
I understand
to
that.
Having Jacksonville last year.
Hey, if we win a Super Bowl, we're going to paint the rest of our helmet the Jacksonville Jaguars. Man, have you ever seen a stupider look than that half-painted helmet? What's that all about? Looks like they just ran out of paint. Well, screw it. That's good enough.
Half-painted helmet? What are you talking about?
Their helmet is like half gold, half black. Like they ran out of gold spray paint. Look it up. Just Google it. Efforting Music Man, please. Google their uniform.
Helmet,
yeah. Helmet H.
Hold on, I'm still trying to get to Jacksonville.
Oh, okay.
God, I can't type today.
What? It's because your noggin.
My noggin is like way in my head.
We could also go, you know, now that I'm looking over at you, we could also do something with your sausage fingers. Could be another nickname. We call you Bratwurst. Brody.
Well, okay, yes, okay. It is. It's shaded. It's not like half and half. It's kind of like mostly black with a little bit of like kind of gold in the back with the Jags. I think it looks kind of cool. Anyway.
No, you don't say that. That just makes you look like a tool. Just paint the rest of your helmet. That's all I'm saying.
I would, you know what? If I had to pick right now the team that I think will go to the AFC, well, I would go with Jacksonville.
Really?
I think New England's going to step back. Pittsburgh is already stepping back. You know, there are a bunch of other teams in the AFC that you just don't know. You know, what are you going to get from Houston with Deshaun Watson back?
Mm-hmm.
Colts with Andrew Luck back. But, you know, the Chiefs, you know, maybe if Alex Smith was still there. Well, wait a minute. We're talking about the Chiefs. Never mind.
Yeah.
No, the Chiefs aren't going to the Super Bowl.
You're funny.
I will go with Jacksonville.
I just don't.
I think the injury.
Did Jacksonville win that AFC South last year? They did, right? Like, they're going to play a first-place schedule. They got little to no quarterback play. You know, I mean.
Blake Bortles balled out in those playoffs. He outplayed Ben, and he was going toe-to-toe with Brady.
How'd he do against, what was that, Bills, that first debacle?
Yeah, but that's like the Nick Foles thing. Yeah. Nick Foles had a crappy game against Atlanta and then was unbelievable.
Over the course of the season, he wasn't great. He did what he had to do to win. I just don't know how sustainable.
Now, Ben.
How sustainable is that football team?
That defense is sustainable.
Yeah, the defense is outstanding.
It's the best defense in football.
They lost a corner.
Do they have the best defense in football?
Absolutely.
Where once the Broncos had the best defense in football, the Broncos defense is still very good, but it's not Jacksonville good.
All three levels are outstanding. I'll give you that. But it's just hard. I mean, that's a horrible. Like Green Bay, how much faith do you have in Green Bay and Mike McCarthy?
Relax.
You base that on Aaron Rodgers, and I think, maybe one of the best acquisitions this offseason is the tight end, Jimmy Graham over there. Getting Jimmy Graham, red zone wise and everything else could be a great acquisition, but how much faith do you have in the Green Bay Packers?
Boy, you are putting, anybody who's picking Green Bay, you are putting an inordinate amount of belief in Aaron Rodgers, who is a great quarterback, but at times you think Aaron Rodgers gets more credit than he deserves. You know, it just seems to be taken on widespread assumption that, you know, he's all this and he's the best quarterback in football. He's got one Super Bowl to his name. Aaron Rodgers is quickly entering Peyton Manning territory where he needs to get another Super Bowl if he wants to be in the conversation of greatest of all time.
Aaron Rodgers has one. Eli Manning has two Super Bowls.
I get you. Not all things are created equal just by Super Bowls, but would you agree with me that Aaron Rodgers has to win another one?
Yeah, no, I believe that he does.
Okay.
So there you go.
It's the Big Noggin with Toot.
Big Noggin and Toot.
Toot, Noggin and Toot.
Noggin and Toot in the morning.
Morning,
6 to 9.
Toot's going to clear the air. Get it?
Yeah.
No, seriously, you're going to clear the air. What about?
You give me an assignment?
We just talked about this like 10 minutes ago. DeHuff came in here and was actually on top of things for once as a producer. So, Mark, what are you going to talk about for clear the air? I'm like, wow, look at you.
Scott, you suck. I thought you were I was just trying to give you a chance to give me an assignment like we didn't actually prepare.
No, I thought we were talking about how you were going to do the two possibilities for the,
right,
for the clear of the air.
And I said no.
And DeHuff said no.
I know.
Captain Buzzkill. Yeah. Well then.
No, this is as close to a must win for the Rockies as you can get tonight.
All right.
Well, and I love this aspect of baseball. We're in that kind of rubber meets the road moment. This is a rubber meets the road game.
I like what you're doing here.
Yeah.
I like what you're doing. I like your mindset.
Mm.
Okay, that's coming up next.